Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And it's a lot of swimming. I'll spoil that for you. It's a lot of swimming.
I did hear that, and I did see our good friend Alan Geary say that Kara and her fans are very thankful that Kara got eliminated when she did. And when I saw that it was all like an all swimming final, I was like, you know what? As a Kara fan, I'll hold that. I'm okay with her not being in this final because, yeah, she wouldn't have done well.
Yeah, I don't think she would have done very well in this final because it's so much swimming. So she would have been behind the entire time. Like, so far it's been just a lot of swimming and puzzles. And like she would have been fine on the puzzle part, but she would have fallen so far behind on the swimming part that the puzzles really wouldn't have mattered too much.
You know what I can't really wait for, Jeremy? It's for the reunion when Kara comes out and it's like, you know, thank you, MTV. And, you know who I really want to thank? You know who I really want to thank? She's been working hard, working side by side, carrying the challenge with me. Laurel Stuckey. Laurel Stuckey. You know what? You right there. She deserves a whole bunch of credit for carrying the challenge all these years. Oh, hey, Laurel. Hey, Laurel, tell Mr. Mama Stuckey I said hi.
But you know, first, like, TJ Lavin's got to do like an intro of like everything we do is fake. It's all fake, everybody. This reality show, there's no actual reality.
We should know that I just booked last night with the challenge. Yes, TJ Lavin kicks off the show with a montage of the challenge saying how he scripted everything this entire time. And then he opens up and says, this is the new era. Are you ready for the challenge? And then Kara comes out, cuts her promo thanking MTV and thanking Laurel Stuckey. And she also thanks Johnny Bananas. You know, in their culture, how long they've been doing this. You know, Johnny Bananas, he's going to be in tribal combat against Jordan Wisely. So, you know, he's got to take him down. And then Kara comes out and she puts the Ula Fala on Johnny Bananas. But the Ula Fala is really like bananas. It's a banana necklace. It's a banana necklace that she puts on his over his neck, and he poses. And you think something's gonna happen, but it never happens. It just never happens. It'd be great. Great stuff.
The wife was very confused. So we got somebody, and it happened to be my wife, with our intro of picking up in the middle of the conversation and acting like we've been talking for 20 minutes. She's like, how long have you been doing the show? I could hear you talking. And then it started and you were just in the middle of a conversation. So we've gotten somebody with this. I apologize to my lovely wife, who is the one who hasn't gotten. Hello everyone. It is FFC. I'm Jeremy. That's SB3. We did talk just now a little bit about the challenge. We will not have an official challenge recap for today because I don't think either of us realized there was an episode last week. Because last time we talked, Cher was like, yeah, there's no episode because it's Christmas and then New Year's.
Yeah.
So we're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Like, it's dumb. They should have done an episode on New Year's. Lo and behold, they did do an episode on New Year's. So there was an episode. I've only watched part of it. SP3 hasn't seen it yet. So we will not recap the first half of the finale because, you know, the first half of the finale, who really cares? We'll just talk about the entire finale next week, and then we'll preview kind of the reunion episode next week as well. So if you are anticipating Cher talk with our pal Cher Delaware, possibly not going to be on the show today.
Should be good next week when we talk about the reunion.
Oh, yeah. But
from the clips that I saw already. Yeah. Oh, man. They done. The people done posted the whole reunion for me. So I pretty much have watched it.
All right. We got a lot to talk about with basketball. I feel like we didn't do the show last week, did we? Because we did.
No, we didn't. You did in the week.
Yeah. Because I was traveling last weekend, so I missed Monday's episode. So yeah, we haven't done some basketball talk in a while. We got a lot of basketball to talk about. Where do you want to start? Let's start.
I mean, honestly, I know you got in the headlines like OKC Thunder and Cleveland Cavaliers, and you know Jimmy Butler and drama, and you know. This NBA talk, it's very cool, very, you know, season starting to pick up a little bit. But I think that we would be a disservice as the only kind of non-wrestling show on this channel on Fightful Overbooked. And, you know, what I see a lot in our chat, in comments, or even people that hit me up in DMs that do watch the show, is that they get a lot of their sports information from us. Because, you know, I'm dead ass. That this is their place where they get up to date with a lot of like sports talk, especially with the NBA and stuff like that. And I think that we would be a little amiss if we didn't at least mention or at least touch on the Fox Sports lawsuit.
Oh, okay.
Because I think that's the biggest thing in that sports right now.
Completely different direction.
Wait, where did you think I was going with
that? I thought you were going to say, let's talk about the Dorian Finney-Smith trade, because we hadn't talked about that yet.
he thinks I'm that much of a freaking Lakers shill.
So here's the thing. It was partially, yes, we got to talk about the Lakers. It was also because you know I love trade talks. So
I know you do.
You know,
I was going to get to that too.
Yeah.
I did not
think about the Fox Sports stuff.
I'm sorry. Because my timeline, that has been like, outside of Raw being on Netflix, my timeline has been mostly that.
Bro, did you see, Skip, or not Skip, we'll talk about Skip.
Yeah, we got, I really want to talk about the guys addressing this and how much they are not doing themselves a service at all.
Did you see, Stephen A always asks for like questions because he does like, let me take questions from people. And then he does the segment on a show. He's like, let me hear your questions. Somebody's like, y'all get freaky at ESPN like they doing at Fox Sports. I was cackling. I was like, yeah, answer that one, Stephen A.
Oh my God. Yo, this is wild, yo. Like, man, like I didn't know Cat Williams' prediction goes into the next year. That was January of last year. Like, we should have been done with these people being exposed like this, but nope. It's keeping going into 2025.
Okay, so this is like a big lawsuit. I'm not going to be able to do it full justice here because there's a lot to it. And it has to do with sexual misconduct and large sexual misconduct. I don't think there was anything worse than that. I don't think there was any like sexual assault or anything like that. It all seemed to be on the up and up. It was just, you know, not good on the up and up, but it doesn't seem like it was past consent. So it, yes. It's just, yeah. So
except in one alleged situation with one personality, but I have the original tweet that I saw was from AJ Perez, who I want to get him right. He's a senior reporter for FOS, Front Office Sports. So he said, exclusive, a former Fox Sports hairdresser alleged a network executive used his position to sexually harass women and says he refused a $1.5 million offer from former FS1 host Skip Bayless to have sex with him in a lawsuit obtained by Front Office Sports. So I am not going to say the person's name who filed the lawsuit, one, because I feel like it shouldn't have even kind of been out there in the first place. And two, I don't know how to pronounce it. So I'm not gonna do that disservice to her in any which way. What they allege was that Dixon, who Charlie Dixon, who is one of the EVPs for Fox Sports, had grabbed her buttocks at a birthday party in West Hollywood. When she relayed the encounter to Joy Taylor, who is an FS1 host, the Fox host allegedly told her to, quote unquote, get over it. They also basically alleged that that Joy Taylor had basically been using her feminine wilds, her feminine ways to basically move up the corporate ladder, and kind of was disparaging to her when she had any type of like complaints about any of the kind of the conduct going around over there. So, and a lot of the allegations are kind of stemming from Charlie Dixon, Emmanuel Acho, and Skip Bayless.
The sexual harassment was the word that I'm looking for, that I was looking for. Thank you. Because there definitely was some harassment as far as what you said of inappropriate touching and, advances that were turned down. So alleged advances that were turned down. So, yes, there was sexual harassment going on. And then some sexual misconduct when it comes to Joy Taylor and what she was doing with everyone, and
like, yo, this is wild, yo. FS1 seems like a freaking mess after this whole thing, because everything is like, and you know, with these type of stuff, especially in sports, it's not one thing that comes out, all of it just starts boiling out. It's like an avalanche. If one snowball is coming down, the whole big snowball is gonna come down on top of you too.
I like that Shannon Sharp came out and was like,
"I got nothing to do with me.
Nope. My name ain't in this lawsuit, so don't know what you want me to say."
So the reason why he came out and said that is because of Jason Whitlock at it again.
Yeah.
Jason Whitlock using this whole thing to freaking get clicks and get views for his video. And he basically alleged that that Skip Bayless was the reason why Jenny Taff left Fox Sports Net. I don't know if y'all remember Jenny Taff's run as like the host on Undisputed, but I believe this was back, I want to say 2020 or 2021. She got into a big argument with Skip because Skip was kind of like insulting the way I think it was Mike McCarthy dresses, and he's not fit, he's fat and stuff like that. And she like kind of called him out for like saying that, like, that has nothing to do with anything, that has nothing to do with his ability to coach. And they got into it because that was a clip that was like going around, and apparently Jason Whitlock basically took that and said that, oh, Skip was the reason why Jenny Taff left the company, because Shannon would be walking around all naked and talking to all the females on the staff at Fox Sports Net, and Jenny Taff loved Shannon, and Skip got jealous of that, so Skip pushed her out of the show. And Shannon Sharp, he would be kind of like, you know, making sexual advances at different women at Fox Sports Net, but because he's Shannon, because he's so charismatic, because he's so fine, he got away with it, and no one's like accusing him of anything. And he was like, "I'll tell you the truth." Jason Whitlock said it. I quote: "I'll tell you the truth. I know what I'm capable of. I stayed away from Joy Taylor with them big ass rack." I was like, "What is going on?"
Jason Whitlock is,
he's gonna work.
Stop. He's terrible. He's terrible. But yeah, he weighed in on it. Have you seen the videos of, like, you know, now everybody does like, oh, what was something here? So when, you know, Shannon is talking to Skip and he's talking about Joy Taylor being there, and like, oh, Joy, she here, if she leaves, like, who cares? And Joy like looks like at him like disgusted and everything. And like, clearly it seems like Shannon may have known something about what was going on there. There's the one video though with Emmanuel Aiko, and he's like giving his NFL takes in like this parking lot. He's clearly like in a parking garage, and he keeps like smelling his fingers, and people, oh, you've not seen this?
No.
Oh, and people are like, dude, he's doing a post game, a post sex like press conference right now. Like, that's what people are theorizing. I don't know how true that is, but the internet is just hilarious when it comes to this stuff. And they're like, oh, he's like, oh, I gotta get fire off these NFL takes after I just had sex. But yeah, he keeps like smelling his fingers, and people are like, what's going on here? You know, when stuff like this comes out, people just go back and they like rewatch all of this stuff and like, oh, this now looks way more suspicious than it did back in the day. Like, you know, when it first came out, it's just like, oh yeah, he's very opinionated about the NFL. That was another thing I saw, is like all this news broke on Sunday, and Sunday was the last day of the NFL season. Obviously, there were some important games and stuff, and everyone's like, oh, this dude's guilty because he's always tweeting about the NFL, and now it's the last day of the season and he ain't got shit to say. Like, yep, everything in that lawsuit, he did.
Yeah, and also they go back and they were like tweeting, retweeting some of the stuff that he's put out in like just the last year, from like 2023 through 2024, and they went back to his birthday post for from 2023. Yep. And like, I remember, I think I did see that around the time in 2023, and people were just like, does he have like a crush on Joy or something like that? And now that the lawsuit out, now it's just like, yeah.
All right, this is going to be awful for us, but we're going to pull up this. Let's see if I can find the video of him doing the post-game press conference.
Who does that? Who does that? Post-show. He did the post-show media scrum.
Yeah, I can't find it. Oh, hold on. I don't remember what the, hold on.
Oh my God. It's hilarious.
My wife is sending me stuff now.
Now she's looking it up.
Oh, she said she was like, she read up on it yesterday anyway. So like, you know, it's like all over the timeline. If you're,
yeah, it's like, it's yeah, all you have to do is just be on the internet and you,
yeah, yeah,
hear something, like it's gonna, or see something about it.
Yeah. Like, it's going to be there. But yeah, she said she was reading it, but yes, you know, people online are so funny with the way they, with the stuff that they come up with.
I've been loving it all. I've been loving it all. Yeah, the anonymous ITW general manager just messes me. I've never heard of this woman in my life until 24 hours ago.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's everywhere. And you cannot avoid it at this point.
You cannot avoid it. Like, that's what I said. I was like, that's kind of the biggest thing in sports right now. I think we gotta at least mention it.
I did not know that's where you were going with this. Like, I was very confused.
I've been so fascinated by this. Like, I've been waiting to talk. I haven't been able to talk to anybody really about it. So I've been waiting to this show to talk about it with you.
It's something. Like, I don't know what's gonna come out of it, but I don't know if anybody's gonna get fired or anything. Like, I just don't. Like, maybe somebody will, but
yeah,
I don't know if anybody actually will.
I don't know. It's a whole mess over there, Fox Sports. I mean, they were already kind of on the downcline because of everything that went down last year with Shannon leaving and then Skip being fired. But man, it's just like, y'all went from a mess to an even bigger mess.
Morale seems high, I guess.
They got a lot of camaraderie over there. They're a tight-knit group. They're a tight-knit group over there. A tight-knit group. Tight-knit group.
All right. Do you want to talk about Dorian Finney-Smith now?
Yes! Let's talk about DFS now. Oh, my God. I thought this was a good trade for the Lakers only because well, the fact that you can get two players for someone like a D'Angelo Russell, really, because anything else that we gave up in the trade, it's really D'Angelo Russell and other pieces. I like that. And I like Dorian Finney-Smith, how he can fit on this team. And I like that what it frees up for us potentially coming like the offseason and post LeBron. I think that this is going to be helpful for us as well.
I like the trade. I was actually upset about the trade because Dorian Finney-Smith, I didn't think the Thunder were going to target him, but I know he's a valuable like 3-and-D player, and it would have been fine. I would have liked him on the Thunder. And so the fact that he went to the Lakers, like, oh, they got a good player. Like, that's really what it came down to, is they got rid of Russell, who is a liability defensively, especially in the playoffs. Offensively doesn't make up enough for it. And now with Austin Reeves like really taking over as the secondary playmaker, Russell just wasn't conducive for that roster. So getting Dorian Finney-Smith, I thought was a great trade for them. And it seemed like they swooped in and got him over Memphis, because it sounded like Memphis had a big offer on the table, and he would have been very helpful for Memphis as well. So not only did like they increase make their roster better, but they took away from another contender in the West that they're kind of battling out with. I mean, outside of the Thunder, like everybody in the West is grouped up from like 2 to 13. So if you can do anything to harm anybody in that group there while making your team better, like, it seems like a good trade. So yeah, I thought it was a great trade for the Lakers.
Yeah, we're doing pretty well now. We're middle of the pack in that kind of whole bum rush of teams outside of the Oklahoma City Thunder in the West, with 3 games out of second place in the West right now, which Rockets and Grizzlies are currently.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ty, yeah, I will say, I gotta tell you, Jeremy, I impressed my nephews over the weekend because we had a birthday party for my mom's. So me and my nephews, we always talk about basketball. Like they know me for years, always talk about basketball. So I told my nephew, Taj, that I think I've talked about him before on the show. And I told him I predicted the Rockets in the top 4 in the West. And he was like, they are good. I saw the vision. They're the OKC Thunder of 2 years ago. I saw the vision, and he was impressed with that. And my nephew, who is a part of the Kyrie family, I had very much fun telling him Lakers have a better record than y'all. It was my badge of honor, especially, and then the sis came, my niece-in-law came too, and I was like, you got anything to say about my Lakers? And she was like, no. I was like, ah, let's go.
And the Lakers are playing well. LeBron came back from his mystery trip to Germany. He took the Kobe trip to Germany, and all of a sudden he looks healthy and refreshed again. So good on him, you know, good on him.
Yep, I think that we're shaping up what's going to be our lineup for the rest of the year. We just need kind of our young players like your Max Christie's, your Dalton Connect to play a little bit more consistently. Anthony Davis is a double-double machine. LeBron James is he's not human. Like I'm kind of convinced that LeBron James is not human, because no 40-year-old should play like this. Like you are 40, sir. You can stop being a top 10 player in the NBA. Like most players stop being top 10 players when they're 35. This man is like a top 5 player at 40. That's ridiculous. 24 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. It's like, it's unreal. It's unreal. And like, it makes me kind of like look back on the days where I denied his greatness or did not put him in the top 2-3 players of all time. And then just look at myself foolishly, like, you were so young, so naive. You didn't know he was going to be 40 and still a top 5 player.
He's lived up to like all the billing, right? Yeah. Because he came in out of high school. And it's like, oh, this is the next guy. And now here we are 20 years later, and yeah, he's still a top player at the age of 40. Like, I'm not even, I know you're not the biggest LeBron fan. Yeah. I'm not the biggest LeBron fan. I turned the corner on him during the second Cleveland run because I expected all of that.
That was definitely where I was like, that's when I became more of like a LeBron fan, is when he went back to Cleveland, because I was like, yeah, you had to finish your job here.
Yeah, yeah. So I respected the second Cleveland run and the way he did everything there. But the fact that he is still a top 10 player, like you said, at this age is kind of astounding. I don't know how far the Lakers are going to go when it comes to the playoffs and everything. Like, I still think we've talked about Anthony Davis and how he just doesn't always like playing the five. And the Lakers, when they won the title, they had Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee playing at the five. And that's when Davis thrived the most. Like, right now, they still have him playing at the five the most because they don't have another good center on the roster. I think if they get a competent backup center, they're going to be tough. They're going to be tough to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what we need. And like, there's players out there. Like I always say, I think I've said this before on the show. What? Get a Clint Capela. Come on, man. Like someone who's you're not going to have to give up Reeves to get him. You can give up Rui and a draft pick or something like that, probably to get someone like a Clint Capela or probably another contract to make the difference. But I think that Clint Capela would be a key addition. But there's other centers out there that you can fit in. But I totally agree with you. I think Anthony Davis will be completely unlocked when he goes back to the four position, because I think that will allow him to stretch the floor well, which he is shooting the three ball a little bit better this year. He's having a great year, 26 points, 12 rebounds, 3.5 assists. I think he's averaging about 3 blocks a game as well. So he's doing fantastic for us, but I agree. He's going to be completely unlocked when you move him to the four.
So they're going to have to give up, because the Lakers are so at the cap.
Harder. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Rui makes 17, Capela makes 22, but it's got to be like an even kind of trade. Like you got to throw in Jalen Hood-Schifino, probably. Yes,
that makes sense.
And Christian Wood. Like you probably got to throw in just to make it work. Yeah, you do both of those guys, and monetarily it works. And then, you know, if you
get probably a draft, maybe like 2027 or 2028.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, Clint Capela is on an expiring deal as well, so you're not locking in to any long-term money with him. I don't know what the Hawks, like, their entire game plan is. Like, some games they look really good, and I'm like, oh, this team might surprise people in the East. And then other games they look completely lost, and it's like, yeah, their defense is awful, and Trae Young isn't really going. He's doing great as a playmaker, but he's not always shooting the ball well. So he's still just trying to just get the offense engaged and everything. So they're just so up and down. Like, I don't know what to think about them.
Yes, interesting there. Yeah, we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I think we do need to make a move, one more move to kind of fill out this roster. But Dorian Finney-Smith is a good addition. I see you do have we'll get to the big matchup. But we got to talk about Jimmy Butler. I think that's probably the before the whole Fox Sports lawsuit jumped off, the biggest story in sports was Jimmy Butler. So, yeah, Jimmy has basically let it be known that he wants out of Miami. He did the big interview where he said that, you know, he's basically done with the organization. And basically the Heat responded by they suspended Jimmy Butler for seven games. Yeah, well,
first they were like, we're not trading him. They put out the big statement of, we're not trading him. And then all of a sudden, Jimmy Butler is taking one-legged threes and not doing anything on defense. And, oh, I can't find my joy here. I'm not happy here. And it's like, he's suspended for seven games. We're going to work to trade him. Like, that changed real quickly. Jimmy Butler saw, wait, you're not going to trade me? Okay, I can change this. I can fix this.
But it's just like, damn, why did we have to go? This is now, what is, how many teams has Jimmy done this with?
It's every team. And I don't dislike Jimmy Butler, but it's every single team he has done this with. The Sixers situation is weird because I think he did actually like being in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
It's just they chose Ben Simmons over him, which
they probably regret.
Sure. Yeah. At the time, though, I get their thinking. Because Ben Simmons was much younger. Defensively, Ben Simmons was outstanding. He's still good defensively. You would hope that his shooting was going to come along. He was already a great playmaker. Like, you saw the vision with what they had with Ben Simmons.
You had much higher hopes.
Yeah.
I understand, because Ben Simmons, there was like a 2 to 3 year run there where people were like, Ben Simmons is an elite point guard.
Oh, Ben Simmons was a cheat code in 2K. He was a point guard. You just post them up against smaller point guards. And anytime like a double came, he had such great passing. It's like, oh, well, there's an easy pass. And then you shoot it. Obviously, in real life, one, he didn't post up anybody. And two, even if he did, no one cared, because it's like, yeah, sure, go ahead and take, what are you going to do? Do a turnaround fadeaway? Like, you're not going to hit that, so we're not worried about that. Like, he just never developed any type of mid-range game. And his post-game wasn't terrible, but he just didn't go to it too often. But, yeah, you would hope that the hope was for Philly that it would have worked out better there. So I understand that one, because I do think he wanted to be in Philly. Minnesota was a disaster. Absolute. Yeah. Disaster. Chicago, you know, not great. So yeah, he's kind of, this is what's happened. Everyone just kind of assumed, and for a while, like, obviously it worked really well, was in Miami. He's got a great coach in Spoelstra. He's got Pat Riley, who knows what it takes to win, who's willing to spend money, who's willing to do the things necessary to win. And then they couldn't make deals like to get Lillard. They couldn't get another star to go along with him. Tyler Hero's been great this year. I think Tyler Hero's actually been underrated, but that roster as currently constructed isn't a real championship roster. And look, Jimmy Butler's at fault as well, because he doesn't play in the regular season. He doesn't care about the regular season.
No, he doesn't.
He gets around to February and he's like, okay, now I got to start doing stuff. Now is when we'll start, you know, kind of locking in and taking this stuff seriously. And the playoffs, he's had great playoff runs. There's no championships, but he's had great playoff runs. Yeah, am I going to take that away from him?
Yeah. It's like that Miami team in 2023 to the finals. Like, yeah, that was a miraculous run with coming from the eighth seed to the NBA finals. Only one other team had done that in like recent NBA memory. So, yeah, you got to give Jimmy Butler credit for that. But, like, man, Jimmy Butler may be the greatest example of the NBA what-if series. Because I thought about, like, three different what-ifs of his career. What if Derrick Rose never gets injured?
What if Philadelphia could see the future on Ben Simmons? What if Miami had traded for Damian Lillard?
If Miami trades for Damian Lillard, I think we have a completely different conversation with Jimmy Butler, because Butler's probably happier. Obviously, yeah. Dame is happy in Miami. They're a better team. Like, they would have figured it out. They're a better team. And who knows where Miami would have been. And, you know, in hindsight, maybe Portland regrets that trade because Tyler Hero is actually developed into, you know, a really good player. He would be.
He's going to be the biggest all-star stump this year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, maybe Portland should have done that deal. I said the offer still at the time on paper wasn't great. You know, did Portland get a better offer? I mean, they ended up with Jrue Holiday, who they traded, and then draft picks. And I don't even know what they came away with in that deal at the end of it. Like, yeah, now it looks like Tyler Hero is probably a better player, but they clearly wanted a guy that they were going to immediately flip anyway, because that's what they did with Jrue Holiday. And they felt that they couldn't flip Tyler Hero, which was correct. It was correct at the time. Tyler Hero couldn't be traded at the time. And in hindsight, maybe you just trade for Tyler Hero and keep him and move forward and go from there.
Because I think he would have even developed even more with playing on the Portland Trailblazers. Like, he's playing with a top 25 player in the NBA, and he's putting up all-star level numbers. If he's playing with nobody but like rookies and second-year players and the dominating, like...
The thing about that is, though, he would have gotten more numbers, but like, he was always a guy that could just like kind of get numbers. Like, he's really taken a leap. True. One, defensively, two, yeah, and with his playmaking. And Bam opens up a lot of that stuff, and Portland doesn't have any of those guys. So I think he could have just put up more empty calorie numbers on Portland. I don't know how he develops in Portland. Like, if he's just out there just jacking up a bunch of shots, is that great for him? And they had so many guards. They needed to develop Simons. They needed to develop Scoot Henderson. Like, they had two guards that they were hoping to really develop, and Shaedon Sharpe as well. Three guards.
Yeah.
Like, they had three guards that they really needed to develop. So I understand not wanting Tyler Hero, because they wanted to do that trade so they can then flip Tyler Hero. But they didn't have anybody to flip Tyler Hero to. So that's why they took Jrue, because Jrue was much easier to flip. So, again, I get it from Portland's perspective at the end of the day, at the time. Now, in hindsight, it's like, yeah, you probably just rather have Tyler Hero.
Yeah, it's looking like you can't get those ones back, but here we are. Where do you think is like the best places for Jimmy Butler to get traded to?
I'll tell you the team I'm most worried about that he gets traded to, and that's Houston. Because I think Houston, they've got a good system in place. They're a scrappy team as it is. I mean, they got into a fight with Miami last week. So, Amen Thompson is throwing down Tyler Hero. But they need a guy to just get them over the hump. They need a closer. Yeah. And they don't have that right now. Jalen Green's not really that guy. Fred VanVleet is inconsistent in that role. And Sengun's good, but it's tough to rely on a big as a closer. So, especially like him, because he doesn't get his own shot or anything like that. So, they don't have just a guard or a wing that can go out there and just get you buckets when you need them. And that's where Jimmy Butler would come in. And that's why I, as a Thunder fan, would be worried about Houston. Until Jimmy Butler, you know, potentially gets hurt or just does Jimmy Butler things and flames out or whatever it might be. But that's where I would be worried if he does go to Houston and he kind of gets them to that next level.
I do think that's the best spot as far as it works for the team and it works for Jimmy. Be it in the Western Conference, I think that that's going to be better for him. And as well, I think for Houston, when you look at all of these teams in the West that is in the playoffs mix, you know who's getting the ball when the game's on the line.
the Oklahoma City Thunder, Shea, my Memphis Grizzlies, Ja, Nuggets, Jokic, Lakers, LeBron or AD, Mavericks, Luka, Kyrie, Clippers, James Harden, Warriors, Steph Curry, Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards, Spurs, Wemby, Kings, Fox, Suns, Durant or Booker. I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that with the Rockets. Even though they're the second best team in the West, I don't know who should get the ball every single time the game's on the line. With those other teams, I know those guys that I just named are getting the ball every single time the game's on the line.
Yeah, like I told you in the NBA Cup game when the Thunder played the Rockets, and like it was a close game at the half, and the second half OKC kind of just pulled away. But like the fourth quarter was like we're playing well, and in this fourth quarter, I know Dub is going to get shots. I know Shea is going to get shots. I don't know. I'm not worried about anybody on Houston. If Fred VanVleet gets hot like he did in the game where the Rockets beat the Thunder, where he had 38 points, tip your cap and move on. Like, what am I supposed to do after that? Like, you just got to tip your cap and move on. If Fred VanVleet is going to drop 38 points, can't do anything about that. But I'll take my chances of him getting 38 points. And then, you know, if that happens, fine. But it's not like I'm worried about this guy. It's not like, how are we going to stop this guy? If somebody gets hot, somebody gets hot. That's just
how basketball. Are we going to stop Fred VanVleet?
Right. It's basketball, right? Like guys are going to just get hot and are going to, you know, make shots. It happens all the time. But there's a difference between that and, oh shit, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander has the ball. What are we supposed to do against him? I'm afraid of this guy when he has the ball. He's not a, Shea hit a shot. This guy otherwise averages 10 points a game. Like, can't believe this is a game where he got 40. How does that happen? Like, no. This guy puts up 30 in his sleep. Yeah. So, yeah, every team you ran down the list, every team has that guy. Houston doesn't have that guy. Jimmy Butler would be that guy. Now, what they give up to get him, you know, could hurt them overall depth-wise. And I think that's where I'm trying to talk myself into. Maybe it's not terrible.
Because I mean, when you look at them, they have a whole bunch of like young players who are still developing and are getting good. So like if I'm the Rockets and you're asking me who are my do not touch or do not even ask me about, I'm only looking at probably Sengun, Thompson, and Green. I would keep VanVleet because of the veteran experience and because he's been such a key factor to their success. But other than that, I would give up Brooks. I would give up Adams. I think is one that I would. It would have to be the right player, and I think Jimmy Butler is the right player.
Oh, so. I mean, Steven Adams doesn't even play on that team.
Also true.
Yeah, they'll give up Steven Adams in a heartbeat. Like they have to. Basically, they got to make money work. As well, like, yeah, Steven Adams is 100% gone. I legitimately don't know how many minutes he plays, but it feels like I never hear anything about him, which is sad because I will always love Steven Adams. But yeah, he just feels like a money filler at any point. I mean, Steven Adams is playing 10 minutes a game. Yeah, they will 100%.
They will easily let that go. Yeah.
But like, Steven Adams is just, he's money. That's not the. Miami's not looking at Steven Adams and be like, yeah, this is a guy we want in the trade. Like, I think if I'm Miami, I would want Jabari Smith Jr. is hurt right now. But I would be looking at Reed Shepard, Jabari Smith Jr., and Amen Thompson. Because I don't think they're going to give up Sengun. I don't think they're going to give up Jalen Green. I'd also look at Tari Eason. He's only 23. Those would be the guys. Like, I got to get at least one, maybe even two of these guys, depending on draft compensation as well. But I got to get at least one of those guys in this trade.
It's gonna be interesting with whoever are kind of gonna be the suitors, the people that are coming after Jimmy in this trade. I think another one of the teams that I heard was the I think I did hear the Clippers. Yeah, I heard the Clippers, but I don't think that can work financially. Who else did I hear? Who else did you hear?
The Suns were a big one. They've got to basically find a third team that'll take Bradley Beal, because if I'm Miami, why would I want Bradley Beal? That makes no sense to me. I've read that maybe the Pistons could be a third team that would take Beal in that trade. And I don't know who goes to Phoenix. Oh, I mean, Butler goes to Phoenix. I don't know who goes to Miami in return in that deal. But I look, the Pistons got a lot of young talent that could possibly work for Miami. They've also got draft picks that could work for Miami. Bradley Beal in Detroit would be a nice fit for them.
Yeah. Like I heard the New Orleans Pelicans had emerged recently as like a team to get in the mix.
For Butler?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what the Pelicans are giving up. Like Brandon Ingram? They'd have to give up Ingram.
Yeah.
If you're Miami, is that fine? Like, are you happy with Brandon Ingram?
He's younger than Jimmy.
So
he's not the defender or the clutch player that Jimmy is.
Like, this is the thing when it comes to Jimmy Butler. It's like, he's got a player option, which he's probably going to opt into, because I don't think he's getting $55 million on the open market. Maybe he is. No. But he's probably going to opt into this. But theoretically, you're potentially only dealing for half a season for him. So other teams probably aren't going to try to give up too much. But Jimmy Butler is also a really good player. And if you're Miami, though, you don't want to just take back bad contracts that you're locking yourself into at that point. Like, really, you're better off. I don't think they're going to do this. But it feels like there's a world where they just call Jimmy Butler's bluff. And they say, you're here at least through the end of this season. Are you going to turn down $55 million? Are you going to turn down this player option and go be a free agent? Or are you going to come here and play basketball? Or are you just going to sit and then lose all this money?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but Pat Riley is very stubborn. Pat Riley.
He will know how to match. If you're being stubborn, he knows how to match your stubbornness.
Yeah. So that's why I think like there is a small world where Pat Riley is like, all right, we'll work to trade you. But if there's no great offers that we don't like, you can sit the rest of the year. We don't care. And then you can walk and then we're done with you. We don't have to deal with you anymore. Or you can opt into the contract and then we'll try to work and maybe we'll have more options for you in the offseason. Or we can try to salvage this thing and play, because I don't think Jimmy Butler is just going to turn away $55 million from opting in. I don't think Jimmy Butler is just going to say, all right, fine, I'll sit the rest of the year and then I'll be a free agent at the end of the year. It's two stubborn people clashing when it comes to Butler and Riley. I think eventually he gets traded. I think he gets traded before the deadline, and you know where that is. Phoenix, I think, wants to continue to make a splash because the new owner, like, that's why they went out and they got Durant. That's why they went out and they got Beal when they didn't need Bradley Beal. But it was like, ooh, Bradley Beal is a shiny new toy. Let's go get him. And it hasn't worked. They've been kind of falling here lately. I don't think Jimmy Butler fixes anything. But again, the owner wants to do things where it's like, oh, let's go get a shiny new toy. It's very much Steve Ballmer syndrome. Of just like,
yeah,
how many all-star name players can I acquire right now? And now Jimmy Butler is just the newest one to do that.
Yeah, we're gonna see how that works out for him. I don't know. But I got another team in the mix. Okay. The Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Memphis Grizzlies, I think, are the team. If they're willingly give up, probably Desmond Bane.
I don't think if I'm Memphis, I'm not giving up Bane. I'm not doing that.
I mean, the only other thing that might work is if they give up. I'm on NBA Trade Machine on another tab. I don't know if you want me to show how I.
Yeah.
I'll share the screen.
Yeah.
Trying to see what would work for Memphis to get Jimmy Butler right now. That's what I'm doing over here. So yeah, I got Marcus Smart, Brandon Clark, which only gives me about $32 million, and Jimmy Butler is making $48 million this year. So you're probably going to have to throw in another player. And I'm not too sure about their younger players. GG Jackson, I do know, is good. So
I feel like he's been injured for part of the season. So yeah. I don't like, maybe they'd be kind of okay with that because they've had, I mean, Scottie Pippen Jr. has become much better. Yes. And I think Jalen,
but Wells, I don't think he's not available to trade.
Right okay. Now. Okay. But so Jalen Wells and Cam Spencer have become really good rotation players. So maybe they feel a little bit more comfortable trading GG Jackson. Not sure.
Oh, they got it, yeah. And they got a trade exempt from the Steven Adams too. Let's see. Maybe whoever this is, Williams. No, Santee. Yeah, throw in Santee. No, that's only 36. Yeah, we need a bigger contract. You got probably going to have to be Luke Kennard.
Yeah, they'll trade Kennard. They tried to trade him in the deal for.
And that trade is a success. Look at that. Look at that. You throw in some draft capital. You'll be I think that would be the deal. I think Memphis is the one where I would say if they got Jimmy Butler, they're a bigger contender to win the West.
If I'm Miami, I gotta get one of the other young players we mentioned, Jalen Wells, GG Jackson. I gotta get one of those guys. If I'm looking at this trade from a Miami perspective, it doesn't move me.
No, it doesn't. When Marcus Smart and Brandon Clark are the best two players, like on this deal, it's got to be it would have to be a lot of draft compensation, or you would have to add in one of the younger players. Let's see. I'll drop Kennard here because they're not going to give up Zach Itty. Scottie Pippen Jr. is not tradable. GG Jackson, I don't know if that gets them to where they need to be. I don't know about. Do they have any? Well, I think that no, I don't think this is gonna work. Let's see. Yeah, trade failed.
I mean, you'd have to keep Kennard in there. They don't care about.
Yeah, they'll trade Kennard too. Trade 4-for-1. It's Jimmy Butler. There we go. Yeah, add in like a draft pick, maybe a first rounder, second rounder. That seems like a better trade for Miami.
Yeah,
they could flip Kennard.
If I'm Miami, I gotta get one of the young guys from Memphis because the three we had before they're not moving me when it comes to that. Memphis is a sneaky option there. I think there might be a little like the teams feel super comfortable bringing in Jimmy Butler. One, not only like personality wise, he's a big personality, but he's an older player. Not everybody's LeBron, everybody's LeBron. And Jimmy Butler, for as good as his playoff runs have been, he doesn't give you a ton regular season. And then playoffs, like he's been injured a lot. Like how's he going to be in the playoffs? Is he going to be healthy for the playoffs? I don't know. It's a risk teams, I'm sure, are willing to take. Yeah, we'll see if somebody will pull the trigger. Who it is, not sure. Somebody will make the deal. Some team will trade.
This one seems like kind of easy because how is Dylan Brooks making $22 million?
Oh, they had all the cap space to spend. They had so much cap space.
I know, because they have nothing but younger players, but goddamn. And Sengun. This poor guy is going to have to get paid. $5 million? Like, what are we doing?
I'm pretty sure he's already signed a new deal. They already signed him to
it probably kicks in next year?
Yeah.
And then you add someone like and Adams. And then they'll probably have to give up one of the younger players. I'm either thinking a Cam Whitmore or a Jabari Smith Jr. What do you think?
Yeah, if I'm Miami, I'm asking for Jabari Smith Jr., Tari Eason, Jalen Green, Amon Thompson. Like, I'm asking for one of those guys.
Yeah, I think if you're Houston though, you're not going to give up Thompson and Green.
Probably not. No, but you got to ask.
Yeah, of course. I give up. So this is the trade that I got here for Houston. We got Dylan Brooks, Steven Adams, and Jabari Smith Jr. And it's a success. Add some draft capital. Hollinger's analysis is that with this trade, you have increased this team's projected wins by one. See? There we go.
There you go.
Let's see who else. Who else have we discussed? The Pelicans. Let's go to the Pelicans next. See what that trade looks like. I love that this is mostly, it's most outside of like Detroit that you mentioned earlier. It's mostly just West teams.
Well, Detroit wouldn't even be getting Butler. Detroit would be getting
Butler. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah,
Phoenix would be getting Butler. I think the West, it feels like the West have just the more kind of urgency and capital to move compared to the East. Like, Boston's not going to make a move. The Knicks aren't going to make a move. The Sixers aren't going to make a move. The Cavs aren't
going to make a move. Bucks ain't making a move.
Yeah, the Bucks aren't going to make a move. I saw this idea floated out there. I don't think it's going to happen. But Middleton for Butler is an idea that I saw. I don't think it's going to happen because I think Giannis and Middleton are too close, and I don't think they want to really risk upsetting Giannis when it comes to that. But I've seen that idea
out. They would have to give up someone else.
They got money. You can give
probably up. I was gonna say Bobby Portis.
Yeah, they've been trying to trade Bobby Portis all offseason. So
yeah, that works. Oh no, it doesn't work. The Bucks are over the luxury tax threshold with this trade. So you probably have to give up someone else. Maybe Connington.
Yeah, Pat Connaughton.
See if that works. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, that seems like a lot to give up for Jimmy Butler.
It does. It literally the Hollinger's analysis that gave us a one extra win with the other trade. It's like not even, it's like you haven't even affected our winning percentage with this trade.
Yeah, I think that's a deal that's tough to swallow if you're a Milwaukee fan, because Milwaukee fans obviously have an attachment to Portis and Middleton. I think Giannis really likes Middleton. It's probably not a trade you're going to see, but I just saw it floated out there. But otherwise, like, the teams in the East, they're not going to make any of these moves. There's not.
Still got the Los Angeles Lakers. The
Lakers don't have anything. You got to give up Reeves. Miami's asking for Reeves.
We give up Hachimura, Reeves.
They don't want that. Are you giving Gabe Vincent? Be honest, as a Lakers fan, are you giving up Austin Reeves for Jimmy Butler?
No, because it's probably going to need a fourth player to do this deal. So no, it's out.
I wouldn't give up Austin Reeves for Jimmy Butler.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't either. Not that often. Austin Reeves feels like he's taking the next step. So no, not the right time to do that even. But let's look at the Phoenix Suns, which Beal. Yeah, it's just Beal.
Yeah, but Miami doesn't want Beal in this deal. Yeah. Like, they don't want to do that. So
wow, look at that. That's funny. Look at this. Look at this analysis.
Which tells you how stupid that analysis is.
It says you improve Miami's wins by five.
It tells you how dumb that is. It's stupid.
Let's X out here, and then we'll see other team that we haven't done yet.
The Warriors are a team that people have linked to because everyone feels they need to make a move to try to extend the window of Steph and Draymond. But from what I read, the Warriors aren't really sold on bringing in Jimmy Butler. They'd have to give up Wiggins. They'd have to probably give up Kuminga. And I don't think they want to give up Kuminga right now. I think they just really like Wiggins, and he's been playing better. And I don't think they see Jimmy Butler as a guy who moves them as much as maybe other people do. So, again, this is from what I read. This is on The Athletic that I read this, that the Warriors aren't super sold on, like, trading for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, they would have to give up Wiggins, Kuminga, and probably Schroeder to make the money work. And even then, still the money doesn't work because they're over the luxury tax. So, yeah, nah, not worth it. Not worth it. If you have to give up more than three players to get Jimmy Butler, then you should probably not even be in this conversation. Sacramento Kings is another one that I've heard.
That team's a mess. They just beat Miami last night, which tells you where Miami's at. But
yeah, I think that would probably be DeRozan and Herter.
Yeah.
Well, that failed. Does... they would have to throw in one more contract, so just get McClone. And that works. And once again, it helps Miami. It's 9 extra wins!
Well, Miami should definitely do it then.
You know? Jesus Christ. And then, what's the other team that we haven't looked at? Was it Pelicans, right? Pelicans would just be probably Ingram and another player. I don't know if they want to give up Herbert Jones. Probably not.
No, not for Jimmy Butler. I think Herb Jones you can flip for. One, I don't think they want to trade Herb Jones. I think they actually view Herb Jones as somebody they can kind of like build around.
We'll throw in Daniel Theis. Oh, no.
I don't know why the Pelicans are making any type of move anyway. They're not a playoff team this year. If you're Jimmy Butler re-signing with the Pelicans, if you're the Pelicans, do you want to give a long-term deal to Jimmy Butler? I don't know why the Pelicans are even talked about.
They're a surprise suitor, apparently, for this. Then you got San Antonio. San Antonio. It would probably be Fassell and Harrison Barnes. And the money works that way.
I don't know if I'm giving up Devin Vassell for Jimmy Butler. Like,
Go for Keldon Johnson then?
If I'm San Antonio, this is not the move I'm making. Like, I'm not making a move to get an aging Jimmy Butler. That doesn't make sense.
Especially when you already have an aging Chris Paul. So,
San Antonio makes more sense to go after De'Aaron Fox, which was a rumor. Yeah, I don't know why if you're San Antonio, you're going to trade for an aging Jimmy Butler. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, but we see the trades that would make sense for Jimmy and Miami and the other team. So it's going to be interesting, but you have one more thing in the headline for us to touch on, which is the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, the two top teams in the NBA going at it.
The Thunder have won 15 straight. We ignore the NBA Cup game because it doesn't count. Legitimately does not count.
It does not count.
Yeah. And the Cavs, I think, have won 10 straight. It's going to be a clash on Wednesday. It's gonna be high drama. The Thunder have played two really good games against the Knicks and the Celtics, where they were down double digits in the first half, and they came back to win both those games. The Cavs are playing better than anybody not named the Thunder all season. And throughout the season, they played just as good as the Thunder. I mean, they have a better win-loss record. I don't know what to expect, honestly. Like, I could see how OKC wins. I could see how Cleveland wins. It's in Cleveland. Some of it will depend if like Caruso plays, because having him out there is just helpful in all situations. obviously the Thunder don't have Chet, so it's not the full version of the Thunder, but they haven't missed them. They've only lost one regular season game without them. And the Cavs with their bigs, with Allen and Mobley, feels like they can get something done on the boards there. Darius Garland's playing great. Donovan Mitchell's going to be tough to slow down. Do they have anybody that could stop Shea? I don't know. I'm looking forward to the game. I'm nervous but excited because the team's good. And so these games have been fun. If they lose, they're not going to win every game. Like, they're 30-5. So can't really be like, oh man, this loss is going to really set us back. Like, yeah.
And we're going to afford your loss.
It's not that big of a deal. At the end of the day.
You'll be fine.
But it'll be a good game. I'm glad they put it on television because it wasn't at first, which was stupid. I don't even remember what was on the game on ESPN before this, but it's very dumb that they
probably Lakers or Knicks.
you can't go wrong with thinking that. I feel like it was actually like the Bulls. So here are the other 7 o'clock games because the Thunder and Cavs are at 7. Mm-hmm. Bulls and Pacers or Wizards and Sixers. Honestly, they might have looked at Wizards and Sixers and been like, oh, Embiid, George, Maxey, let's put the Sixers on.
You know it was supposed to be a 7 o'clock game?
Do I know it was supposed to be the 7 o'clock game? I would assume so because the Spurs and Bucks are the 9:30 game, and that's ESPN. So
yeah,
I assume it was the
even before the season starts, how would you not think that's the better game? Like, on paper, Bulls versus Pacers. What was the other one you said?
Sixers and Wizards.
Sixers and Wizards or Cavs and Thunder. On paper, how would you look at that and say that, okay, let's not pick the Cavs and Thunder?
Oh, it was very dumb of – yeah, it got flexed in to it. It doesn't say what the – I guess I could just look up, like, NBA national TV schedule before the season.
Yeah.
But that's but so they, weird. They didn't have – what was just as dumb is – that's not helpful. Can I just get, like, a preseason national TV schedule? Maybe something here. They want to make things so difficult for some reason.
See? And look at this. Look at this. Look at this, Jeremy. I'm sorry. I just noticed this comment from earlier. But you see? Uh-huh. Wait, this isn't the first time he's done this? See? Uh-huh. People legit come to our show because they don't know what's going on. We got to inform them. That's why we had to address the Fox Sports lawsuit to begin the show.
It was apparently Raptors and Knicks, which is a 7:30 game. So I guess it said 7. So it looks like they just pushed the start time back for Raptors and Knicks and then moved the Thunder and Cavs start time maybe up and flexed it in there. Because, Raptors and Knicks is scheduled for 7:30 now. Even then, Raptors and you knew the Raptors were going to be bad.
Yeah, when you look at those, the only one that's a matchup of potential playoff teams before the season start is Cavs versus Thunder.
Well, they didn't have the Thunder and the Celtics game televised until it got flexed then. And it got flexed on NBA TV because, they didn't have, ESPN partner. They didn't have, games already scheduled, so it just got flexed on the NBA TV. But they didn't have that televised at all. And it's like, I don't know, defending champions against the number one seed in the West, where you knew Shea was probably going to be an all-star again. Everyone agreed the offseason, they got better. Maybe you should put that game on TV.
I don't know.
But this
sounds like a good idea to me.
This one too. It's like, okay, number one seed in the West last year against what the Cavs were one of the top teams in the West or in the East.
They're a playoff team. They were everyone knew they were gonna be a playoff team this year. It's just I don't think anyone knew they would be the number one seed, but yeah, it's really, really goofy, really difficult. Well, I am gonna go with the Cavs to win on Wednesday. Only because I'm still waiting to see the fully healthy Thunder get like 20 games under them together. Like 20, 30 games with them together consistently on the floor this season. And I think that's when I really believe in them to beat any team they go up against.
Well, it's not going to happen until after the All-Star break when Chet gets back. So,
yeah,
we got a little while on that one. I want that team too. I want the team in its current form, which has been the best team in the league since Chet got hurt. But we're going to add Chet Holmgren to all of this. That's scary. It's scary to think it about. Is. It's also it scary is. To think about of they got the pieces if they want to make some moves. I don't know what the move is, but they move in silence anyway. But there's some move to be made if they want to do it.
Bring Kevin Durant back.
I don't think they're going to get Kevin Durant back. But
finish a season where it started.
I don't want Kevin Durant.
But yes, I'm looking forward to that one. That's definitely the game of the week. Did you want to touch on the All-Star voting results? Because I did find it interesting with LaMelo being number one in the East guards.
It's
that throws everything for a loop to me. It feels like in any other world, despite him having crazy numbers, averaging 30 over 30 points per game, no team that has six wins should have an All-Star.
I'm with you, but this is the problem when you just do voting. This is the problem when you do fan voting. Is LaMelo's got a pretty big following. LiAngelo has the hottest song in the summer. Hottest song, like it's not even summer. I don't even know where
it's going. The hottest song of the year so far.
Yeah, LiAngelo's got the hottest song of the year. So like, this is the problem when you do fan vote with this stuff. Is you're gonna get results like this. So
I still have not listened to it, but I've been hearing everybody tell me that for like a week now.
So yeah, like this is what's gonna happen. You're gonna get stuff where LaMelo's first in fan voting. Well, now he's an all-star, even though he's on a 6-win team. What do you change the process if you're not
happy? They did, because it's not just the fan voting anymore.
Right.
It's the fan voting with the player vote and with the I think it's media or coaches vote, whatever.
I think it's coaches. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see. But if you're number one in the fan voting, then you're probably they're not going to negate you that much to the point that they're saying, "Yo, fuck the fans. We don't care if he's number one. He's not an all-star." Like, no, they're going to make the all-star team if you're number one in the fan voting.
Yeah, and he'll be there. Like, his numbers are good enough to be there. It's just the Hornets aren't very good, and they don't win a whole lot. So.
Yeah, but it's just like crazy because like there's gonna be teams that are very good or are the contenders in the East that is not gonna be able to make the All-Star game. And like Tyler Hero is probably the biggest. Like I said, I think he's gonna be the biggest snub, and I think that a lot of that comes down to LaMelo being voted in by the fans.
Well, Tyler Hero will just have to play with a bigger chip on his shoulder.
We shall see. We shall see.
Is Sean on the wrong show? Did you mean
he's got a chip on his shoulder too?
I understand this is the non-wrestling show on Fightful. Okay.
So what did you come to talk about?
WWE Fox Sports Raw last night.
I mean, you do got a point there.
The most non-wrestling show I've seen in quite some time. WWE Monday Night Raw on Netflix.
Talking about Travis Scott. That was the highlight of the show.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Somebody had tweeted and they go, vaping sucks. And I was like, yeah, that's why he was smoking a big, fat, stinky joint.
It's
it
LA.
Was not vaping.
It's legal. What's wrong, y'all? Yeah. I mean, that was that and Hogan getting booed for the culture were the best parts of the show.
That was hilarious.
It did phenomenally. I saw that, like, I think it was Ocho and Shannon Sharp were like, nobody wants his beer. Oh man,
it's not them. Do not say it was Ocho and Shannon Sharp. It was their Twitter account, but it was a social media manager.
Nightcap.
Nah, sorry, it's them. It's them. It's for sure them. Listen, if I get blamed for thigh tweets, they can get blamed for the husband. All right.
I'll grant you that.
No, but the thing that got the most engagement out of last night that I tweeted, take a guess.
Macaulay Culkin getting the biggest pop of the night.
Macaulay Culkin and Daniel Fishel. Wasn't even close. He wasn't even close.
Macaulay Culkin, when he was on screen, I heard that pop. I was like, Jesus. Like, that was
he's a worker, too. He did the reveal.
Oh, yeah. he's a big wrestling fan. He rules. He rules.
Yeah, that
he
was,
got a bigger reaction than anyone that was in the crowd.
Gigantic pop.
Yeah, and gosh, I can't remember what else did big numbers for me. The Michael Cole dance on the table was good.
Yo, Michael Cole, you struggling to get the beat, yo. Like, come on, man. Can't be doing that.
Travis Scott, and by the way, I know we're talking about wrestling here, but the camera shot after Travis Scott was, the drone shot was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal, but yeah, Macaulay Culkin got the most engagement of anything.
He's over.
Yeah. They shunned Eric Matthews. Can we talk about that?
The Will Friedle erasure is not okay.
It's an injustice. It's an injustice, man.
And here's the thing. You know they brought his ass down there from backstage to do that.
Put the graphic up. It's not that difficult.
You could have just said Daniel Fischel, Riv Friedle from the Boy Meets World podcast. Just could have done something like that.
There you go. Well, guys, I'm gonna go to Waffle House. I'll see you guys later.
That sounds fun. What's your Waffle House order?
I can't remember if it's the MVP or the All Star. Huddle House has one, Waffle House has the other, so one of those.
Okay. All right. Enjoy. See you guys.
Enjoy.
Waffle House sounds good. Now I'm hungry.
You know, I'm like, I'm going to go to the South to go to Waffle House now. Yeah. I think the only thing we have left to do is our bottom three, top three, and hottest takes.
All right. Do you want me to start off bottom three, hottest three?
Yeah, you can go. You can go ahead. Okay. You can start us off.
It's the same teams. All these teams suck. All these teams suck.
All these teams suck.
I'm trying to I don't want to. This is like, oh, the Wizards are bad. The Hornets are bad. Like, the Hornets have lost 10 straight, dude. They're awful. The Pelicans got a bunch of injuries, but they've at least, like, you know, won a couple of games lately. All right. You know what? I'm going to mix it up a little bit here. This team's not necessarily bottom three, but. You know what? The Minnesota Timberwolves.
Ooh.
They are in the bottom three for me. They actually won their last game, but they're not like enjoyable to watch.
No.
Anthony Edwards is complaining about being double teamed. Like, what? You're a star player. Of course they're going to double team you.
And they're not going to not double team you because you're complaining about it.
Yeah. Like, are they not supposed to double team you? Like, oh, this isn't how I signed up to play basketball. Sorry, your GM traded your best floor spacer for Julius Randle and, you know, took away that option for you. Sorry, you have Rudy Gobert on your team and he can't catch a basketball.
Sorry that your GM is a freaking idiot. Like, how do you make the conference finals and trade your second best player?
Oh, it was bad. That was terrible.
That's horrible. That's horrible. That is horrible.
I'm going to put the Minnesota Timberwolves there. And I could probably put the Phoenix Suns there. They won their last game as well. But, like, Phoenix is kind of a disaster right now. They've at least got a better record over Phoenix. Tied for the number three spot since – they're not really the worst teams in the league. Minnesota and Phoenix. There we go.
I think that's fair. I think that is fair. I am making a rule for myself to make it interesting this week as well. Right. I cannot pick the Cavs or the Thunder in my top three this week. So coming in at number three, I'm going to go with the Houston Rockets. I think that Houston, I predicted it. You heard it here first on FMC. That's why y'all need to watch FMC, because my predictions, Jeremy's predictions, our hottest takes are going off like bang busters in one way or the other.
Bang busters?
Yeah, what? One way or the other. Either it's going really well, it's not not so well at all. But yeah, Houston Rockets, they've been playing very well together, and they just have that youth to them. I think that the only thing that's going to get in their way is when they get to the playoffs is their lack of experience. I feel like if they're in the mix for the Jimmy Butler trade, that would be a big move to them. But even if they're not, they got Sengun, who I think is going to be an all-star. You got Jalen Green, who might be a fringe all-star. Fred VanVleet, who's playing very well as the lead veteran for the team. So I like their overall team. I like the way they play. They're exciting to watch. Houston Rockets, number 3.
All right. Fair. Especially with the rule you've given yourself. I can respect that. All right. I'm going to group these teams together. Like, there's not a whole lot to say about them. The Wizards still suck, and the Hornets suck. Those are the bottom two teams. I don't have anything more. The Hornets have lost 10 straight. They've lost 10 straight. LaMelo is super entertaining as a singular entity, but as I said before the season, not a guy who is conducive to winning. And the rest of the roster ain't going to help him win. So he's just out there hitting cool shots, looking like dude perfect, doing trick shots and everything. But he's not winning basketball games. And I don't know if he's a guy that will win basketball games, because I don't know if the team isn't good, but there's also enough evidence that he's just not a guy that's going to drive winning, whether the teams around him is good or not, because I think they got good players. I just don't know if he's a guy that's going to drive winning. And then the Wizards at least know they suck, and the Wizards have no disillusion otherwise. They're like, yeah, we're not good. We get it. Jordan Poole, go out there. We've accepted this. Yeah. Jordan Poole, go do what you want. Cole Bally is taking kind of a step. Sar looks better than he did to start the season. So they're at least building something in all of this losing. They've at least got a couple of guys who it's like, you know what? They got some guys who, they got some guys who maybe in a couple years can be winning players. But right now, they're not, because it's not a very good team. But they know it's not a good team. The Hornets have been the same team for like 5 years now. When they draft LaMelo, LaMelo's been in the league at least 5 years, right?
2020? Was he 2020 draft? Because 2019 was Zion and Ja. So he was the year after, wasn't he?
I'm looking it up. This is LaMelo's 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth season. Yes, I was correct. This is fifth season.
So 2020, yeah.
They're at where they're at, and they've had good draft picks since then. Again, they've gotten Brandon Miller. They're just not a good team. They paid all this money for Miles Bridges, woman beater.
It is what it is with LaMelo. He's gonna play. He's gonna score the bucket, but it seems like no one on his team can. So they're gonna be where they're gonna be. Number 2 and 3, 2 and 1 for me. So number 2 for me this week, we're going to go with the New York Knicks. New York Knicks have really put it together. They found that chemistry that I was looking for them early on in the season. And boy, oh boy, is Karl Anthony Towns looking like the best pickup of anyone in the offseason. He's looking like an MVP candidate for the New York Knicks, a fringe MVP candidate, because I don't think anyone's going to outdo what Giannis or Jokic is putting up numbers wise this season. But if we were looking at it from the old school MVP way of thinking of, hey, the teams that are in the top half of the league in the West and the East, the top player on those teams should probably win MVP instead of the person who putting up video game numbers. But anyway, that's besides the point. I think he would be in that conversation. And now he's basically made in a lot of sense during the regular season. Brunson is the number 2, and he might be one of the better number 2s in all of the NBA. So I think that he will be back in that number 1 spot when we go to the playoffs. But I've been really liking what they've been putting up. Cat putting up a double-double. Brunson's going to be an all-star. So been like what the Knicks been given. And then number 1, the reigning NBA champion, Boston Celtics. Had to give them number 1 despite the loss. Yes, I know they just lost.
The cops are coming after you for putting is losing ass Boston.
They lost
Celtics
to the number one team in the Western Conference. Yeah, they're real bad. But they also did beat those Rockets. They beat the Timberwolves. They also have a win over the Raptors in the last week. So I like what Boston's been doing. They're just so deep from top to bottom. And really, this has felt like Tatum's best year. He's really stepped it up on the defensive end and really became one of the top two-way players in all of the NBA. Jaylen Brown's been playing well as well, and they just won through seven. I don't think there's a better team in the NBA. So Boston Celtics, number one this week.
Let me ask you a question, SP3. How many points did you score in the second half of any basketball game on Sunday? How many points did you score?
Two.
You scored two? Like you played? Okay. What game did you play on Sunday?
NBA 2K 25.
All right, let me rephrase this. How many points did you score? How many points did you score in the second half of the Thunder versus Celtics game on Sunday? How many points did you score?
Zero.
You scored the same amount of points as Jaylen Brown did. I scored the same amount of points as Jaylen Brown did in the second half of the Thunder and Celtics game on Sunday. We deserve $60 million. We can score 0 points. That's what he did. Got locked up. The torture chamber. Got his ass. I played basketball into the kids after they had their basketball games on Sunday.
Yeah.
Dominated them. Just destroyed them.
Oh, man.
I was taking them to the hole every single time. I was like, you can't guard me. Did the too small.
You were acting like Shaq out there. Like you were Shaq.
I wasn't backing them down because they like jump on my back and everything. Like I was hitting dribble moves, hit a spin move on one of them, got to the rim, easy layup.
He was like, easy work. You were doing the LeBron? Did you do the LeBron?
I was doing too small on him.
Too
small. Yeah, it's like you can't guard me. It was two against one, too. Didn't matter. Just dominated them. They gotta learn, you know? They gotta learn.
Hilarious. I'm also laughing at my cousin who was at my mother's birthday this weekend, randomly messaged me video of Hulk Hogan getting booed. I'm like trying to tell people earlier today is like, yo, that is the main thing that casual fans will remember from this show.
Yeah. All right, hottest takes. We got hottest takes. Let's pull up our list here. Let me see if I continue my trade theme. that's what I've been going with.
I'm actually gonna go with a trade one.
Oh, okay. I won't go trade then. I won't go trade if you're gonna go trade. Okay. It's been a while. Oh, it's been a while. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. January 7th.
Our first one of the new year.
All right, you go first then, since you have your trade locked in.
After we did extensive research on today's show, I am going with Jimmy Butler will be traded to the Houston Rockets, which goes in line with my other prediction with the Houston Rockets.
All right. Okay. My hottest take. Victor Wembanyama will be a top three MVP candidate. Top three. He will surpass.
So Jokic, Giannis, and then Wendy.
Get out of here. Shea's going to be in there. I think he surpasses Giannis.
Okay, that's fair.
Wow.
I think it said Wendy. Okay. They in the play-in right now.
Yeah. I think he's going to get a lot of credit. As he should. He's been great. But he's going to get a lot of credit. And especially if they can somehow jump up and get a top eight. Because, like, top eight, they'll give him MVP votes on top eight. Like, who cares?
Nah.
Like, he's not going to win it. Jokic or Shea is going to win it. But he might be able to do enough I think he will be able to do enough. That's why it's my hot take.
He's just been ridiculous this season as far as like the numbers. Like, yeah, 26, 11, 4 assists, 4 blocks. He might be DPOY.
Yeah, I think he's already going to win that. That wasn't a hot enough take for me. I didn't think.
Yeah, no, nah, I agree. Defensive
player of the year. The league's got to figure out, like, whoever wins this year. This is why, like, I really need OKC to win this year. Because I feel
it's a wrap.
The league just belongs to Wemby for the next 10 years, assuming he's healthy.
Don't let the Spurs not make the playoffs so they're in the lottery. Because I know for a fact. This is going to be my hottest take next week. I'm doing preemptive. Let's see if I remember this one. If the Spurs are in the lottery, they will be the number one pick, and they will get Cooper Flagg.
No, they aren't going to fall that far. If they win the lottery, that's rigged.
It's rigged.
That's rigged. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to tell you. It's rigged.
Yeah, they ain't falling that far because they're going to be a high lottery team. No, they ain't. The league won't let that happen.
We shall see. Yeah. We shall see. But yes, we've made it to the end of our podcast here. We talked all about sports. Well, NFL, what's your prediction for the NFL playoffs?
I think
Super Bowl prediction.
I think I picked the Bengals to start the year. That's obviously out.
Nope, that don't look good. I'm going with Kansas City and the Lions. Man, Chiefs Lions.
That's chalk. That's lame.
I'm the guy that was up here, what was it, 2 months ago, who said the Lions was the best team, but I can't deny the Chiefs aren't gonna make it back.
I mean, look, I have a hard time betting against the Chiefs, like picking against the Chiefs. They've literally done is like win. So why am I gonna think that, oh yeah, all of a sudden they're now gonna lose? But I don't want to go like full chalk. I'm gonna go the Bills. The Lions, like, their defensive issues kind of worry me. Although they look great against the Vikings. The problem is, like, I don't like any of these teams in the NFC. I don't think any of these NFC teams are that great.
No.
So I will go with the Lions on the NFC, but nothing in the NFC would surprise me. The AFC is a lot, like, more top-heavy with the Ravens, the Chiefs. And the Bills. Yeah.
It's going to come down to one of those teams with the star quarterbacks with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes. So we shall see. It's going to be interesting. We'll touch on it here on the podcast, I guess, next week. But yeah, just had to mention that.
No, fair. Fair. All right. Anything else?
When Cher's back next week, I will give y'all some more 90 days. Because I have to have Cher's reaction to it.
Fair.
Or it's not as good.
Yeah, I respect that. All right. Anything you want to plug, SP3?
Check out my wrestling YouTube channel, True Heel Heat. Me and Romeo will be live today at 1:05 p.m. Eastern Time with Rated Raw Review, reviewing last night's WWE Raw on Netflix. Where I'm sure we are not going to agree on the quality of that show. Because
man, you think Romeo's going to like it?
Yeah. I feel like if Triple H spit in his mouth, he would say it's holy water. But yeah, he's a drone. He sometimes he gets very drone-ish sometimes. Yes. but it is fun. I like doing shows with people that I know are not going to agree with me on the quality of the show. That's why I do a ramble with Jimmy Macaram every Thursday. But yes, we're gonna have fun talking about last night's show, talking about The Rock scrapping WrestleMania plans, it seems. Hulk Hogan being booed, Travis Scott smoking weed. It was a good time. So join us live, True Hill Heat flagship, True Hill Heat YouTube channel for Rated Raw Review. I will be there tomorrow with our Battle in the Valley preview for New Japan Pro Wrestling. Check out our NJPW Wrestle Kingdom 19 and NJPW AEW Wrestle Dynasty reviews that we did yesterday. Because that was another one that got heated because Jay News did not understand why people in the locker room were upset at Chris Charlton. So it was a great debate to start off the show where I was just like, nah, I kind of get it. You're fucking up the money. But it was good time. Check it out.
I think we'll probably talk about. We talked a little about Charlton on In the Weeds, but yeah, I'm of two minds on that one.
I'm of the mind that it's not his full sentence, his full diatribe that he did. It's when he gets so emotional that his voice cracks right. And he talks over Rocky, because then Rocky gets quiet and then Walker says the line of "Put your guns away, guys," meaning that Chris was shooting. So yeah. That's when it was like, yeah, that right there. It's not the whole diatribe. It's that right there when he got way too emotional, way too into it. Plus, he's never been a heel commentator. Now he's a heel commentator. Like, it's just, there was so many things that were wrong there. And I like Chris. I've chatted with Chris. He's such a good guy, such a good dude from talking to him on social media and stuff. But I see what he did wrong.
I think where it got lost for me, one, it was like too much. I was just like, maybe pull it back a little bit. Two is like, I didn't mind when he equated like his thoughts to words by Yoda Tsuji and Gabe Kidd and David Finley, because all of them said the same thing Chris Charlton said.
Yeah.
Like, they've all called Tony Khan, not all of them, but like Gabe Kidd certainly called Tony Khan a money mark and is like, yes, Tony Khan and all of this stuff. Like, these are all things New Japan wrestlers have said. I think if Charlton keeps it at Gabe Kidd said this, David Finley said this, Yoda Tsuji said this, then I think he's okay. When he starts, like you said, kind of getting too much into his own thoughts and feelings, and again, I thought take away from the matches a little bit, then it's like, hey, maybe you should like pull that in a little bit.
Yeah. And it's a credit to both Kenny Omega and Gabe Kidd that it didn't take away from that
match. Yeah, that they certainly
did. Phenomenal. Oh my God.
That match was amazing. Just amazing. All right, SP3. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Share Delaware will be back. We'll have the challenge to recap and a bunch of other stuff. I don't know. Basketball. Just everything. Bye, everybody.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.